Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and this has been a day full of joy, a day of peace, a day of excitement, a day of rest, resting in the Lord and knowing that He is everything we need. The great exhortation of the Apostle Paul is to renew our minds. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Our mind is the leading part of our soul. Our will and our emotions automatically follow to be renewed also. The mind is the key to the Christian life. The reason why non-Christians do not respond to Christian truth is that they cannot discern spiritual truth, according to 1 Corinthians 2, 14. So today we are going to have Minister Lakeisha Richmond conclude this awesome teaching track called Everything You Need, and her focus is going to be on transformation. So thank you, Lakeisha, for being with me in the broadcast today, and we're just going to move right into our lesson. So, Lakeisha, if you could, let's just get this kick started.
Amen. Good day. Thank you again, Carnita, for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Christian world, to our other sisters and brothers in Christ, and prospective sisters and brothers in Christ. Today, as you said, is the last part of this series, Everything You Need, Part 4, which is transformation. We began with confession, which confession is very personal. It varies from person to person. You can't confess for me, and I can't confess for you. It's a personal thing. And we had discussed in one of the previous lessons, confession means to tell or to talk. Tell God what you stand in need of, then give Him back His word, His promises that He has told us in His word. Then we would take an active role in having confidence, which is that belief in Him by believing in His promises. Trusting and having confidence in our Heavenly Father brings us to transformation, which means to change. First part of the lesson, I want to share with you some quotes I took off the internet on growth and transformation. I thought was very, very interesting and thought-provoking. Few of those are, I'll begin with the first one. It says, unless you are prepared to give up something valuable, you would never be able to truly change at all, because you'll be forever in the control of things you can't give up. That was a quote by Andy Law. Then a quote, change is hard because people overestimate the value of what they have and underestimate the value of what they may gain by giving that up. James Belasco and Ralph Sayer. I thought about that. Change is hard because people overestimate the value of what they have. A lot of times what we think we have is really not as valuable as that of what we can have. And if you, for instance, in the life of a Christian, what I have on this earth my house, my apartment, my car, my truck, my my job, my money, my mind. What are some things that you have? My jewelry, my clothes. Oh my God, my shoes. What are some things that you have that you really consider to be valuable? Okay, your life, your soul. You know, what do you have that you really? It says that change is hard because people overestimate the value of what they have. What do we actually have that is very, very valuable? And underestimate the value of what they may gain by giving it up. Now, that's a quote by James Belasco and Ralph Steyer. As I said, but when I thought about it, there's nothing that I have here on earth that I really think is more valuable than everlasting life, than eternity. Than spending eternity with my Heavenly Father in a place where I don't have to worry about sickness, where I don't have to worry about no pain, where I don't have to worry about sorrow, where I don't have to worry about someone robbing me or someone holding me at gunpoint, where I don't have to worry about how am I going to provide for my children tomorrow. Eternity with in heaven, where I don't have to worry about what am I going to eat today or tomorrow. That quote really it really said something to me. Another quote: it may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present. Right now, we're like eggs. And you cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad. That's a quote by C.S. Lewis. Have you ever smelled a bad egg? Oh, my God, it's not. Mm-mm. That's not something you want to. You'll never forget if you haven't. Just keep living, but you really don't want to really smell a bad egg. It's not a pleasant smell. And wow, I didn't think. Can you imagine a little white egg? Next time you go in the grocery store and look in your refrigerator, can you imagine that eggshell with wings on it trying to fly? It's not going to happen. We're still talking about transformation. These are just some thought provoking quotes by a variety of people that I thought it would be great to open up with. After living with their dysfunctional behavior for so many years, people become invested in defending their dysfunctions rather than changing them. That's a quote by Marshall Goldsmith Mojo. People don't resist change. They resist being changed. Peter Singh. Now that's something to think about. People don't resist change, but they resist being changed. Now, that's true because I've thought about some changes I've gone through in my life, and I never resisted a change, but I really didn't want to change. And it's because when you change or when you go through transformation, it challenges what you are. And what happens is you step into a new place where you're not familiar with. So you really, it's uncomfortable. So it's that's where you really go through the resistance. That's because you walk into an unfamiliar territory. But the only difference is with the transforming in Christ, you have it lays out in the scriptures what your life looks like or could look like after change. They give you different stories after you've been sick for years, and after Christ has come into your life and has healed your body, you see what healing looks like. Or being, you may be like the little girl that was that had the demon, you know, demon in her, but she still recognized the Spirit of God. She still recognized salvation when she saw, we talked about Paul and Silas, when they were when they were witnessing, talking about the gospel and offering salvation to people, and she was demon possessed, but she recognized salvation when she heard it and when she saw it. That's an example of resisting change right there. All right, let's go to one more, to a couple more. Culture does not change because we desire to change it. Culture changes when the organization is transformed. The culture reflects the realities of people working together every day. So that's a consistency. That shows a continual, it shows unity, that shows relationship, and that shows some continuity. That's a quote by Francis Helsel Beam. Sometimes I think my most important job as a CEO is to listen for bad news. If you don't act on it, your people will eventually stop bringing bad news to your attention, and that is the beginning of the end. That's a quote by Bill Gates. Effort and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. John F. Kennedy. If you want to be great and successful, choose people who are great and successful and walk side by side with them. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now notice he said, if you want to be great and successful, that's two things, two great things, great and successful. Choose people who are great and successful and walk where? Side by side with them, not behind them, not in front of them, but side by side with them. Last one. First comes thought, then organization of that thought into ideas and plans, then transformation of those plans into reality. The beginning, as you will observe, is in your imagination. That's a quote by Napoleon Hill. Amen. Now, today, we're going to talk about everything you need, part four, and the focus is transformation. The scripture, foundational scripture, was read already, but if we can turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Amen. And I will be reading to you from the New International Version. And it reads in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, changed, that's what that means, by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, what God's will is, excuse me, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now let's look at some of these words in the scripture. Do not conform. Conform means to be similar. Okay? Do not conform. So do not be similar any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Transform, I looked that up, and it says a great change. I was like, wow, great change. Okay, so do not be conformed any longer to the pattern, so do not be similar any longer to the pattern of this world, but have a great change by the renewing of your mind. Renew means to become new or recreate. So do not be similar to the way the world does things, but have a great change by having a new mind. Recreate your mind based on the Word of God. Think about things and do things according to God's will. Well, you will only know God's will by getting into his word. So that means what? We have to study his word, study God's word, study the scripture. We have a lot of people, think about it. We hear it all the time, see it on TV. We have a lot of people that wants to be like Mike. And for the sake of saying like Mike, like Michael Jordan, a great basketball phenomenon. A lot of us know Michael Jordan, number 23 of the Chicago Bulls, where he's retired now. But we have a lot of people that wants to be like Mike. They practice his shots, they buy his clothes and his shoes, they try their best to be like Mike by looking like him in what they wear. They buy his jersey with the number 23 on it that represent him. I was thinking about transformation. You know, what can I tell the people so they can really get an idea of what transformation looks like? So, in retrospect, someone that we can identify with is Michael Jordan. But I thought about, well, what about being like Jesus? Do we really study him like we study Mike? Do we buy clothes that represent Christ like we do for Mike? Do we try our best to look like him, talking about Christ, Jesus, by what we wear? Or do we look like everybody else in this world? Yeah, I see a lot of people that wear crosses, but they don't have any characteristics of what the cross represents. I see the rappers with the crosses on, cussing, in videos with the large crosses on, but have women behind them next to naked dancing these perverted dances. I see people with crosses on with guns strapped to their sides. But that doesn't represent Ephesians 6 and 10 through 18, which nothing there says anything about guns, however. Ephesians 6 and 10, let's turn there. That talks about the armor of God. Armor of God. We're talking about transformation, representing Christ, about not conforming to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. It's just one of the points I'm trying to make. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting with verse 10. And I'm going to read down to the 18th verse, and this is the New International Version. Verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So it says schemes, so that means it's more than one, that's plural. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." They don't say strap a gun to your side, but put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, talking about transformation, not conforming to the things of this world, okay, not being similar to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." And this tells you what we are to put on. "Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith," that goes belief again, "with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one." How can the shield of faith extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one? Let me tell you how. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Number one, it's a shield of faith. The evil one comes to deceive, to steal, kill, and destroy. But the evil one is known as a liar, as a deceiver. And number one, God is truth. And if the evil one is a liar, he's always going to come, and he's going to always, he brings along a decoy, some falseness. He's going to always do the opposite of what God's promises says, or what he has promised, what he has told us. So the evil one comes. So that's how the shield of faith extinguishes all flaming arrows of the evil one, because they're not real. They're decoys. They're lies. They're not true. Then it says, "Take the helmet of salvation." So that helmet of salvation is going to cover that covers your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. So we're still talking about not conforming to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if we put on the whole armor of God, that means our head is covered, our chest is covered, our feet are covered with the gospel of peace, and we have our shield of faith. So that means that in that transformation, there's an outfit that we can put on daily, which is the armor of God. And all of that is foundational in the Word of God. Amen. So let's go here. Still talking about everything you need, transformation. Transformation is defined by Nelson's Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible to change radically. Radically means extreme or great. So we keep hearing this word great or extreme change. And that's not on the, just on the outside, but it's in the inner character. It's in our condition or our nature. We as believers should not be conformed, which we talked about. We shouldn't be just similar inwardly or in appearance to the values, ideas, or behavior of this fallen world, of this lost world, of this dying world. Okay? We shouldn't look nothing like the world that we live in. There should be a difference. There should be people around us that want what we have, that want. Remember we talked about in the last series about when we discussed about belief, and I told you that our belief is powerful, so powerful that it could save our entire household, so powerful that it can influence others around us. Remember when we talked about Paul and Silas? You should go back and listen to that. I can even stand on this. Holy Spirit just said, our belief, it's not just powerful, but our belief in Jesus Christ has supernatural power. Amen, amen, amen. So let's, 2 Corinthians 3:18 declares we should continually renew our minds through prayer and study of God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so be transformed and we'll be made like Christ. So we talked about also St. Luke 9:23. We talked about that last time. But we can go there again. St. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Still talking about transformation. St. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said, it's Jesus. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. That's transformation in motion. We're talking about every day. So every day we get up and we denying ourselves, you know. We wake up and we're going to say, well, today, Father, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's going to be about you. It's going to be about populating the kingdom of God through my belief, through me spreading the gospel today. Through me just, how can I just spread the gospel and I'm still learning about God? I'm learning about Jesus Christ or learning the word of God. Well, how you can do that is just living day to day, continuing in your new way, continuing in your changed life. And people around you, when they begin to see how you've changed, how God has came into your life and made you new, how you talk different, how you not just walk different, but how you carry yourself different, how where you may have had some doubt, but now you speak more in faith and you have a much more concrete belief in those things that you are believing God for, those things that you have prayed for. That's transformation in motion right there. So Jesus said, anybody has a choice to come after him. Anybody, don't matter what race, what nationality, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, you have a choice to come after him. All you have to do is deny yourself, take up your cross daily, you know. It says daily. So that's a continual thing. So my responsibility every day is to be an infectious and contagious Christian. Hallelujah. You know, and follow me. That's what Christ said. Follow me. So how do I follow Christ? Imitate Christ in every action, in your every ability. It's a scripture that says if you acknowledge him, which is Christ, in all your ways, he will direct your paths. Let's see if I can find that one right quick. If you acknowledge him in all your ways. So that means in going to the grocery store, in going to the washing area, in going to the job, and going to the track and going to the movies, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3 and 6. Let's turn there. Proverbs 3 and 6. Just so you see with your eyes. See with your eyes, confess it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and then you can walk in it every day. You can acknowledge him. Proverbs 3 and 6. But it's right here. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So, another version says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So, this NIV version says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Just say if you headed down the wrong way. I'm getting ready. I've had a bad day. A little frustrated, walking down the street, maybe getting ready to do something I shouldn't get ready to do, but just thought, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. That's all you have to, Lord, help me. Then he will, what, make your path straight. In that very second that you say, Lord, help me, he could change, he can come right, he will meet you right where you are. And transform your life. He'll change your life. He'll change your attitude right there. He will turn you around and send you a different direction. He will soften your heart right there where you're at. And he'll make that bad day a better day for you. Just like that. Amen. Amen. So that was for somebody. That was for somebody. Whoever you are, because that was not in my, but that's just for you. Right from the heart of God, straight to you. So when think about this, so even in thinking about denying yourself, picking up your cross, taking that responsibility every day, the responsibility of if you fell off a little, you know, it's okay. If you made them, it's okay. God forgive. Get back up, dust yourself off, and continue in your new way. Just because you've fallen does not mean you can't finish the race. All right? We do not count you out. God does not count you out just because you fall, or just because you fall a little short, or you scuffed up. You get up, dust yourself off, and continue in your new way. You have your Father in heaven loves you that much. He's waiting for you to finish the race. Hallelujah. And follow me. So that's in following Christ, is imitating him in your every action. That speaks still to relationship, because I trust you enough, God, to give up everything that I have, you know, to deny everything that I want, to take the responsibility to follow your word to the letter, or to learn more of you. And then I try my hardest every day to be just like Jesus. That talks to relationship. When we are in a new relationship, you get to know that person by talking to them. Usually you talk a whole lot, a whole lot. You know, you are every minute, every waking up, especially if you're in love, you know, you're going to be like, oh, I want to know everything about him or her. You know, getting to know what they like, they dislike, their favorite color, you know, what kind of clothes you like, what kind of shoes you like. You notice their mannerisms. You study them, right? Well, the way we get to know our Heavenly Father is through his word. What he likes is going to tell us in his word. What he dislikes, you get to know his character and such. And usually when you have spent a lot of time around a person, what happens is a lot of the characteristics rub off on you, you know, or you begin to talk like them or you use certain words they use. But remember, it is the power of the Word of God that transforms us and that changes us, right? Not a man or a woman of God. No matter what the title or position a person may have, it's not them. It's not the pastor. It's not the priest. It's the Word of God, because there is power in the Word of God. Amen? So you see, we can confess all day long, but if we don't believe in God, we can't be saved. Confession is the easiest part. We can hurt someone and say we are sorry, but that person really knows if we're sincere. It is the same way with Christ. We can confess it, but we have to believe. That is the only way. Let's turn to John 14 and 6. John 14 and 6. Amen. John 14 and 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. And our belief and confidence in Christ grows daily as we continue to grow closer to him and learn of his promises, of God's promises, and keep them in our heart. Then no one can take that away, not even the devil, not even the enemy. Think about the first time you accomplished something, how good it felt. And remember, the intimidation was gone after that. You know, that's the same thing. Have you ever had to say, think about Easter speech? So once you've done it a couple of times, even if you don't like it, your confidence is increased. The same thing as in trusting in God. Just give him a try. A great deal of our transformation or the change will come through life application of the Word of God. Amen. I said give him a try. Just give him a try. If there's anyone right now at this time, if you does not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you don't know him in a pardon of your own sin, if you have not confessed Christ, I would like to take this opportunity to pray the prayer of salvation with you. So I'm going to lead you into the prayer of salvation. So I would like for you to repeat after me, but it's going to be through your faith, through your belief, through your confidence, through your trust in God, through your trust in our Heavenly Father. That's what saves you. You're going to confess with your mouth, but you got to believe with your heart. Amen? So if this is your sincere request, or this is an opportunity for you to become changed, to live a transformed life. Amen. So if you repeat after me, but use your faith, Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner and do not deserve eternal life. But I believe with all my heart that you died and rose from the grave to purchase a place in heaven for me. Lord Jesus, come into my life today, right now. Take control of my life. Forgive me of all my sins and save me. I repent. I'm turning from those sins. I'm not going to do them anymore. I'm going to try my best not to do them anymore. And now I place all my trust, my confidence, my belief in you, Jesus, for my salvation. And I accept the free gift of eternal life. Amen. And if that is your sincere prayer and desire of your heart, you are saved. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Because you confess that, but you truly believe it in your heart. You truly believe. Amen. And most assuredly, I say to you who believe in me has everlasting life. That's still a promise in his scripture. And you can find that in St. John, the 6th chapter, verse 17. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's just, God is good. I'm going to finish my lesson. Amen. It's transformation is a very serious thing. Belief in Christ is a very serious thing. Because I remember a time when I didn't have any hope. I was in need of a Savior, and this was my prayer at 9 years old, and I truly believed that Christ was my Savior, was my deliverer, was my healer. He was everything that I needed. And today, at 41 years old, I still believe that he's everything that I need. Anything that I have lack of, even if I don't have it, I know that he has it. And all I have to do is to believe, and he will supply it. It's just a matter of time when I have what it is that I'm believing God for. It's just a matter of time. It's patience. Amen. Amen. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're in need of today. I don't know. I don't have it for you. But I know a man, his name is Jesus, he has everything that you need. And all you have to do is to ask him and to believe it, and he will provide it for you. He will give it to you. It will come. It may not come exactly when we think we should have it, but when it's required for us, or when it is ordained for us to have it, it comes. It comes right on time. The old people say, God never comes, the Lord never comes when you want him, you know, but he's always on time. That's what I remember my grandmother saying all the time, you know, he never comes. He never comes when we want him to, or when we, because a lot of times if God gives us what we need when we want it, we wouldn't appreciate it, and we really couldn't put it to good use, so we couldn't use it for what it was required to be used for a lot of time. That has been my experience. But let me finish with the lesson. But God is, not can be. He is everything that you need. In all of life, study is a faithful friend if we learn its ways. Study. A faithful friend if we learn its ways. I see a great deal of damage done, not by the evil one, but by ignorance. Christ tells us that we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free. You can find that in John chapter 8, verse 32. But so often we don't know what the truth is. So if we know the truth as being the Word of God, and we don't study the Word of God, that's why we don't know what the truth is. Let me finish reading. We don't know
how to dig it out. Why? Because we don't study. In Romans, Paul tells us that our lives are to be transformed, changed, by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12 and 2. But if we have no firm grasp on what God's word says, how can we be changed by it? I think we as Christians have become lazy. Some of us have. We would rather read a book about how someone else became closer to God than to spend time alone with him ourselves. We would rather listen to someone else's interpretation of the word of God than to read it ourselves. And yet we alone, you, me, are accountable for what we believe. We can't stand before God on the day of judgment and explain that our incredible ignorance is our pastor's fault. Or it's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. It's my sister's fault. Mm-mm. It's my cousin's fault. I'm a point everywhere else except for at me, because I didn't study. I didn't get in the word of God. I didn't allow the word of God to change my life. It is our responsibility to access God's word for ourselves. That was a statement by Sheila Walsh, and it blessed me. I hope that blessed you. But listen, does it make sense to want to spend the rest of your life with someone you don't know? Ask yourself that. Does it make sense? This is just some questions I was pondering today. I had to think about it myself, you know. Does it make sense to want to spend eternity praising someone you don't love? Does it make sense to just confess or just repeat what God's promises are and don't believe them? Because if we don't believe them, we just saying what somebody else said. We just saying what we read. We don't believe it. Because if you don't believe them, then you can't continue in your new way. That's transformation right there. I understand getting to know him. But being in a relationship, when you're in a relationship with your partner and your partner has showed up, like he just showed up for you, like, for instance, has promised to do something for you, and they've done it, then the next time they tell you they're going to do something for you, that's easy for you to believe, right? Because they've done it before. And so when they promise, you have that your trust, your confidence in them, it becomes easier in that relationship with them from then on. That's how it is with our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Transformation or change just becomes a daily thing. That's what we got to practice every day. Our old ways dissipate, fall off, or they just disappear as we continue in our new way of thinking daily. But that's daily thinking according to what the scripture says about me, my situation, my family, my home, my safety, everything. Every part of me has to become a reflection of my Father's character. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 22. Galatians 5 and 22. Let's turn there. 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh my God, I have to become more like Christ and self-control. Amen. Against such things there is no law. Okay, those are some of the characteristics. Okay, it gets better. Let's go to Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 7 to 13. Amen. Philippians, if you turn a couple, you go after Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, fourth chapter, 7 through 13. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And we talked about this, about those continual thoughts, about those continual thoughts. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, this is what we should be thinking. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, ever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, that's Paul talking, but those are some characteristics because he was one of the apostles. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're almost at the end. Colossians chapter 3. That's just one page over. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. We're still talking about transformation. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, talking about these old ways, therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Remember we talked about our nature, all those things are not of the old. They got to dissipate. They got to go away, which you're continuing in the new way. So put to death, this is verse 5. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because these, the wrath of God, is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, taking off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And we know God as being love. Amen. Amen. God is love, the biggest change of all. 1 John 4, 4 through 12. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We, as Christians, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only, his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So he took our place on the cross. So, dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, walk in love daily. Because if you walk in love daily, you walk in God daily. Amen. So the last, I want to leave, I really enjoyed this time that Carnita Smith, because I really have to say thank you to my sister in Christ, Carnita Smith, for allowing me to come and share Christ with you via radio. It's been a blessing. Actually, it's the first time I had heard about the Blog Talk Radio, and it has changed my life to be able to come and share Christ with you, because it makes me to be a greater witness, and it helps me to continue in my new way, in my life of transformation, because you never stop living for Christ. You never stop learning more about who God is. You never stop drawing closer to him. As long as you have a hunger for God and his righteousness, he'll fill you up. he will. I mean, you should never, ever. It's like being in a relationship with someone you love. You never, ever want enough of them. You never can have enough. You never can learn everything about that person. You always are looking for some way to encourage them, to surprise them, to show them how much you love them. So as a Christian, as even if you are a babe in Christ, being with Christ 30 years, it still should be like a new love every day,
mm-hmm.
every day, because God still surprises me. He still teaches me. He still encourages me. He still shows me how much he loves me through every day, just little things. Prayers that I pray, and I never, I communicate. I talk to God all the time. You know, I can be walking in the store and just talking, and people think I'm talking to myself, but I'm talking to my Father. And I know that prayers I've prayed years ago, they haven't been answered before, but God is just still answering prayers for me that I had even forgot that, wow. Because he's that kind of God. He loves you that much. Any request that you make unto him, he will answer. I don't care if it's 5 years down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, but he will answer. He'll answer it. You just got to believe. You got to expect it. So this is the last nugget I would like to leave with you. And it's still talking about belief, because the last nugget I would like to leave with you about belief is this. I really want to put something on your mind to remember. I want our belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be contagious. I want our belief in our Heavenly Father to be infectious. Ask yourself every day, like I do, has my belief and transformation being contagious or infectious? I have made it my prayer. Heavenly Father, I want my belief and my life as a Christian, as an imitator of Christ, to be contagious and infectious, that that you may receive glory, that our Heavenly Father can receive the glory. I want to spread it to everyone I come in contact with. I want my supernatural belief to be airborne. And I ask God to let it be so in Jesus' name. So, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer. I have enjoyed this time with you considerably. So this is the end of, this brings us to the end of Mission from the Heart radio broadcast series on everything you need through confession, belief, and transformation. So again, I have to say thank you, Cornita, for the opportunity to share with you and with the world Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through confession, belief, and transformation. And I pray that you walk in love daily because God is love. And always remember 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen.